Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Stacy Pearl will be with us talking about how to make Thanksgiving dinner. It's an annual tradition. And the first part of the show is also an annual tradition. We're going to hear Alice's Restaurant by Arlo Guthrie.
This song is called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant. That's just the name of the song. And that's why I called the song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Now it all started two Thanksgivings ago. It was on 2 years ago on Thanksgiving when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant. She lives in the church nearby the restaurant in the bell tower with her husband Ray and Fatsha the dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they got a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And having all that room, seeing as how they took out all the pews, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, we found all the garbage in there, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the city dump. Well, we got there, and there's a big sign and a chain across the dump saying closed on Thanksgiving. And we had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before. And with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one till we came to a side road, and off the side of the side road was another 15-foot cliff. And at the bottom of the cliff was another pile of garbage. And we decided that one big pile's better than two little piles, and rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning when we got a phone call from Officer Obie. He said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage, and wanted to know if you had any information about it." And I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obie, cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage." After speaking to Obie for about 45 minutes on the telephone, we finally arrived at the truth of the matter and said that we had to go down and pick up the garbage, and also had to go down and speak to him at the police officer station. So we got in the red VW microbus with the shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, headed on toward the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one or two things that Obie could have done at the police station, and the first was that he could have given us a medal for being so brave and honest on the telephone, which wasn't very likely, and we didn't expect it. Another thing was that he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again, which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that we hadn't even counted upon, and we was both immediately arrested, handcuffed. And I said, "Obie, I don't think I can pick up the garbage with these handcuffs on." He said, "Shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car, and that's what we did. Sat in the back of the patrol car and drove to the quote scene of the crime, unquote. I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this happened here. They got three stop signs, two police officers and one police car. But when we got to the scene of the crime, there was five police officers and three police cars. Being the biggest crime of the last 50 years, and everybody wanted to get in a newspaper story about it. And they was using up all kinds of cop equipment that they had hanging around the police officer station. They was taking plaster, tire track, footprints, dog smelling prints, and they took 27 8x10 color glossy photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. Took pictures of the approach, the getaway, the northwest corner, the southwest corner, and that's not to mention the aerial photography. After the ordeal, we went back to the jail. Obie said he was gonna put us in the cell. Said, kid, I'm gonna put you in the cell. I want your wallet and your belt. And I said, Obie, I can understand you want my wallet, so I don't have any money to spend in the cell, but what do you want my belt for? And it said, kid, we don't want any hangings. Said, Obie, did you think I was gonna hang myself for littering? Obie said he was making sure, and friends Obie was, cause he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and ground. And he took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars, roll the toilet paper out the window, slide down the roll and have an escape. Obie was making sure, and it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice? It's a song about Alice. Alice came by and with a few nasty words to Obie on the side, bailed us out of jail. We went back to the church, had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, and didn't get up until the next morning when we all had to go to court. We walked in, sat down. Obie came in with the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back each one. Sat down. Man came in, said, all rise. We all stood up, and Obie stood up with the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures, and the judge walked in, sat down with the C&I dog, and he sat down. We sat down. Obie looked at the C&I dog. Then the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and looked at the C&I dog. And then at the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and began to cry, cause Obie came to the realization that it was a typical case of American blind justice and there wasn't nothing he could do about it. And the judge wasn't gonna look at the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. And we was fined $50 and had to pick up the garbage in the snow, but that's not what I came to tell you about. Came to talk about the draft. Got a building down New York City, it's called Whitehall Street, where you walk in and you get injected, inspected, detected, infected, neglected, and selected. I went down to get my physical examination one day, and I walked in, I sat down, got good and drunk the night before, so I looked and felt my best when I went in that morning. Cause I wanted to look like the all-American kid from New York City. Man, I wanted to feel like I wanted to be the all-American kid from New York, and I walked in, sat down, I was hung down, brung down, hung up, and all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. And I walked in, I sat down, they gave me a piece of paper, said, kid, see the psychiatrist, room 604. And I went up there, I said, shrink, I wanna kill. And I wanna kill. I wanna see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead, burnt bodies. I mean, kill. Kill! 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 And I started jumping up and down, yelling, kill! Kill! And it started jumping up and down with me, and we was both jumping up and down, yelling, kill! Kill! And the sergeant came over, pinned the medal on me, set me down the hall, said, you're our boy. And you feel too good about it. proceeded on down the hall, getting more injections, inspections, detections, neglections, and all kinds of stuff that they was doing to me at the thing there. And I was there for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. I was there for a long time, going through all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things, and I was just having a tough time there. And they was inspecting, injecting every single part of me, and they was leaving no part untouched. Proceeded through, and I when finally came to see the very last man. I walked in, sat down after a whole big thing there, and I walked up and said, "What do you want?" He said, "Kid, we only got one question. Have you ever been arrested?" And I proceeded to tell him the story of Alice's restaurant, Massacre, with full orchestration and five-part harmony and stuff like that. And then all the phenomena stopped me right there and said, "Kid, did you ever go to court?" I proceeded to tell him the story of the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one. It stopped me right there and said, "Kid, I want you to go over and sit down on that bench that says Group W. Now, kid." And I walked over to the bench there, and there's his Group W's where they put you if you may not be moral enough to join the army after committing your special crime. And here was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly-looking people on the bench. There's mother rapers, father stabbers, father rapers. Father rapers sitting right there on the bench next to me, and one, it was mean and nasty and ugly and horrible and crime-fighting guys are sitting there on the bench. And the meanest, ugliest, nastiest one, the meanest father raper of them all, was coming over to me, and he was mean and ugly and nasty and horrible and all kinds of things. And he sat down next to me and said, "Kid, what'd you get?" Said, "I didn't get nothing. I had to pay $50 and pick up the garbage." He said, "What were you arrested for, kid?" And I said, "Littering." And they all moved away from me on the bench there to carry eyeball and all kinds of mean, nasty things, till I said, "And creating a nuisance." And they all came back, shook my hand, and we had a great time on the bench talking about crime, mother stabbing, father raping, all kinds of groovy things that we was talking about on the bench. And everything was fine, we were smoking cigarettes and all kinds of things, until the sergeant came over, had some paper in his hand, held it up and said, "Kids, this piece of paper's got 47 words, 37 sentences, 58 words. We want no details of the crime, time, crime, and else kind of thing. Got a safe time to about the crime. Want to know the rest of the officer's name, and else kind of thing. You got to say, and I talked for 45 minutes, and nobody understood a word that he said. But we had fun filling out the forms and playing with the pencils on the bench there. And I filled out the Massacre with the four-part harmony and wrote it down there just like it was, and everything was fine. And I put down a pencil and I turned over the piece of paper, and there on the other side, in the middle of the other side, away from everything else on the other side, in parentheses, capital letters, quotated, read the following words: "Kid, you rehabilitated yourself." I went over to the sergeant and said, "Sergeant, you've got a lot of damn gall to ask me if I've rehabilitated myself. I'm sitting here on a bench. I mean, I'm sitting here on the Group W bench because you want to know if I'm moral enough to join the army, burn women, kids, houses, and villages after being a litter bug." He looked at me and said, "Kid, you don't like your kind. And we're gonna send your fingerprints off to Washington and friends. Somewhere in Washington, enshrined in some little folders, and study in black and white of my fingerprints. And the only reason I'm singing you the song now is because you may know somebody in a similar situation. Or you may be in a similar situation. And if you're in a situation like that, there's only one thing you can do. Is walk into the shrink wherever you are. Just walk in and say, shrink. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant and walk out. You know, if one person, just one person does it, they may think he's really sick and they won't take him. And if two people do it in harmony, they think they're both faggots and they won't take either of them. And if three people do it, can you imagine three people walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out? They may think it's an organization. And can you imagine 50 people a day? I said 50 people a day walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out. And friends, they may think it's a movement. And that's what it is. The Alice's Restaurant Anti-Massacre Movement. And all you gotta do to join is to sing it the next time it comes around on the guitar with feeling. So we'll wait till it comes around on the guitar here. Sing it when it does. Here it comes. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. That was horrible. Want Ann Warren stuff, you gotta sing loud. You could put a lot. I've been singing the song now for 25 minutes. I could sing it for another 25 minutes. I'm not proud. Or tired. So we'll wait till it comes around again. And this time with four-part harmony and feeling. We're just waiting for it to come around, is what we're doing. All right now. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant, excepting Alice. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Say, walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Da 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 da. At Alice's restaurant.
And that was Alice's Restaurant by Arlo Guthrie. It was based on an incident, a true story in Arlo Guthrie's life from Thanksgiving 1965. His album Alice's Restaurant was released in 1967, and a movie by the same name came out in 1969. Stacy Pearl will be with us talking about Thanksgiving dinner in just a few minutes. Please stay tuned to KSFR. I am very happy now to welcome Stacy Pearl. She is an executive chef with Walter Burke Catering, and we are doing our annual Thanksgiving show. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks. It's great to be back.
Now, Stacy is the host of Mouth of Wonder, which is a cooking show on KSFR. You're kind of on hiatus until January.
I needed a little downtime to get myself organized, and so I've been planning new segments and lining up some great new folks to be on the show, and I'll be back in January. But I'll be doing a holiday spectacular, all singing, all dancing, December 26th. You know, after Christmas, when everyone has that sort of downtime before New Year's, when you need something to do, I'll be there to amuse you.
That's great. So that's on Saturday mornings on KSFR.
Mm-hmm. At 10:30 and right after Bob Ross.
Excellent. So Thanksgiving dinner. This is a subject we talk about every year, and by this time, pretty much everybody who's going to buy a turkey has bought. Well, it's probably not true. There are probably people
who... Oh, you always have your last-minute shoppers. But, you know, the closer it gets to Turkey Day, the more difficult it gets to get your ingredients.
Yeah.
So I really hope everyone's got their bird. And if you bought your bird frozen, it should be defrosted by now.
I should hope so. You can't,
I hope so.
You cannot put it in the microwave.
No, it does not work.
So how do you choose a turkey?
Well, it's interesting because I was always the kind of person that said, just get the good old butterball and it'll be just fine. But I have changed my ways. Now I only use natural organic turkeys. They don't have to be certified. Just the all natural ones, preferably ones that haven't been frozen. And there's a really good supply of them here in town, or there has been. They could be gone by now. And I find the quality of the texture of the meat is better, they're juicier, and it's just a really good bird, and they're not really that expensive as they used to be.
Yeah, that's true.
Trader Joe's carries their own brand of organic birds that are fantastic, so it's worth it. If there's one ingredient you're going to spend your money on, go for a good bird.
Stacy Pearl has officially gone green.
It's the first ingredient, because I'm not 100% organic. I think some ingredients make a difference, and I think some don't, quite honestly. And I think sometimes due to economic reasons, you have to pick and choose. And I say put your money in the bird.
Okay. Now, that's the last you'll be hearing the word green on this show, because we do not eat very many green things.
No, it's not a green holiday.
Although, we'll get to that in a moment. But okay, so you've chosen your turkey. Maybe it's a natural turkey, whatever kind of turkey it is. So how big a turkey should you get?
Well, it's you figure turkey different than other things because everybody wants leftovers.
That's true.
So I usually figure a pound and a half per person, remembering the carcass takes up quite a bit of weight.
Right.
This will ensure you leftovers for the next day, which I think is crucial.
The next day, but not the next 45 days.
No. Basically, and I know that a lot of people who cook turkeys, my mother included, because as I've mentioned before, that's the one thing she can make, and she makes an awesome turkey. She says it tastes better after everyone's gone home at 10 o'clock at night, and then she sits down to her whole turkey dinner, and it's fantastic. So you want to make sure you have turkey for that meal.
Exactly. Okay. So stuffing a turkey. There's a million and a half ways to do it, and it's one of those things where it's kind of an inexact science. You just kind of put some stuff in. How do you do it?
Well, this is a big debate, the stuffing in or stuffing out. I personally do not put the stuffing in the bird.
Or both.
My husband would prefer I do both. I don't put it in the bird, generally speaking, because it takes longer for the turkey to cook, and it makes it a little bit more iffy in terms of it sitting at room temperature and growing bacteria. So for safety's sake, I always recommend cooking the stuffing outside of the bird. Now, having said that, what I always do is I make out of the giblets and all the little parts, I make a stock and I put that in my stuffing. So it has the turkey juices in it, but it's a lot more efficient. And this way also, I like to make two or three different stuffings. So this way you have the option, you do them, and that's something you can do ahead of time, which is something we'll get to, because this is the thing about Thanksgiving that I always like to say to people is like, it doesn't have to be a really stressful meal. It just takes good planning. And a lot of times, this is the only time the whole year that people cook a big meal for friends and family. They feel under great pressure. But the whole thing to making Thanksgiving work is planning ahead. And, all your sides and things like that, those are things generally you can get done ahead of time.
That said, depending on what time of day you eat, I don't do anything ahead of time except buy the ingredients. And that's the one big meal a year that I cook, and I do the whole thing. And, my mother stresses out, oh, you're not going to have time to do... I have time to do everything.
Well, in the olden days, people used to get up in the middle of the night to put the turkey in the oven because they would cook it for 7 hours. I've never met a turkey I had to cook for 7 hours. It just doesn't exist. People were a little bit paranoid about getting things cooked. The biggest turkey, I can't imagine anyone's going to cook bigger than a 24-pound turkey, is going to take you three and a half hours.
Yeah.
It just doesn't take that long.
No. And you can overcook them, and I've done that.
Oh, that's very easy to do. Yes.
Well, not to contradict you, because you're the chef, and I'm just a regular person who's not a chef by any means, but I always cook the stuffing in the turkey, and I've lived to tell the tale.
Well, that's great.
And the thing that's nice about that is... the one that's in the turkey has the giblets, and then I cook some outside the turkey
there
that doesn't have the giblets for our vegetarian friends.
I support
friends.
That. being someone who cooks turkeys for a lot of people here in town, and we cook them and then they get reheated, it's a little bit more volatile.
Yes.
But in a home kitchen, yes, you could certainly do it safely. And I know it is a delicious way to go.
And what I always also do is I put brandy or some equivalent in the stuffing that goes in the turkey.
Oh, that'll kill anything.
Well, first of all, it'll kill anything, but it also infuses the turkey with a certain je ne sais quoi.
Yes. Oh, yes.
All right. So, you've stuffed the turkey. Now, what are some of the ingredients that you put in the stuffing besides the giblets, you use giblets?
Well, as you know, stuffing is a way to use up old products. You know, old baguettes, old ciabatta, cornbread. A lot of times I'll just make a few extra sheets of cornbread and then let it dry out and then cube that up. I think that's great. Now, you could go the, you know, Pepperidge Farm route and go to the store and get crumbs, but homemade bread is so much better.
You know what's really good? If you go over to the Sage Bakery and buy some of their very firm, hard, heavy breads and cut those up. The raisin bread, the raisins
yes.
are already there.
Yes, and because the crust gives you don't really want stuffing to be mush. It should have a bit of a texture to it. And yes, a good crusted bread is perfect for stuffing.
And I don't actually agree with the breadcrumbs. I think the bread cubes
I like
are
the
much
cubes
better.
I do too. And like I think focaccia is a great choice as well.
Right.
Because it has a nice crust and it has a good texture to it. And all those things, it just make so much of a better quality product.
So you can put in any dried fruits that you have?
I think dried fruit is great. I think nuts are wonderful. I think dried cranberries are great. You know, I always go with your typical carrots, onions, and celery chopped up and sautéed. You know, and I always go with some fresh sage, which is lovely to have in there. But yeah, really, it's a chance to be creative. It's not like a cake where you throw a few things and you could ruin it. Nothing ruins a stuffing. Think of your favorite ingredients. You know, I bought this year, I'm using some dried pears, which I'm going to be soaking in brandy.
Nice.
And chopping those up and putting them in stuffing. It's a really great opportunity to be creative.
And you can pretty much put anything in, then you mix it all together. You want to make sure there's a little bit of some kind of liquid in it, whether
and
that
lots
be the
of
brandy
butter.
And butter. And you know what? I'm not a real cook the way you are, but the way you can tell that your stuffing's going to be good is you kind of smell the ingredients and see if they go together.
Mm-hmm.
You stuff the whole thing in. If you do that, if you don't stuff it, when do you put it in the oven compared to the turkey?
Well, you can do the stuffing the day before, frankly.
Oh, okay.
And then just take it out and bake it off, you know, like 30 minutes before dinner. And, you know, what I like to do if you're going to do that is take, you know, pre-cook it, and then when you're ready to reheat it for your dinner, brush the top with some butter, and then it'll get a nice crust on the top. Because that's what you want is the crunchy bits, aren't they?
My friend gave me a bumper sticker, which I have on my refrigerator, called Bacon Makes Everything Better. You could also say that for butter.
Yes. Yes. I think that it's really important that your stuffing, it's a rich thing. You know what I mean? It's something, and it's one of your many starch items, which you will enjoy. And the other thing about stuffing is most people eat it once a year.
Yeah.
Which there's really, so you might as well enjoy it.
If you have a weight problem, then it's the other 364 days that are doing it.
That's right. Let yourself go on one day.
Okay. So the, I don't know else how else to say this, but the vegetarian option.
Yes. It's a sad day for a vegetarian.
It is indeed.
And
although not, some people love it. They make a stuffed squash.
Right. We sometimes I do a butternut squash, and I'll make like a black bean tempeh chili and put it in there. It's quite filling, and it looks really pretty on the plate. Other folks just do all the sides. You know, you do make a little bit of stuffing with a vegetable stock, and you have the potatoes and all the other things, and sometimes that's enough of a meal. It's not a vegetarian holiday, really.
I mean, there are things that you can get your protein and you can get your starch and all
those
things.
You could get some blocks of tofu and sculpt them to look like a turkey if you want.
People do that.
Yeah.
Tofurkey.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about people who are vegetarians and eat a lot of soy, watch out for the debate about genetically modified foods is a very major, huge debate that we're not going to go into right now, but there's a lot of genetically modified soy being grown in this country. So if you're worried about that, you know, check out that you get the organic.
Yeah, well, we have some good sources for organic products here in this town, so that's really not so hard to do. But the thing is that if you eat, like, tofu every day, do you want to eat it on Thanksgiving?
Right.
You know.
Is there such a thing as too much soy? All right, so green, as we just discussed, is not really a Thanksgiving color. So you don't eat a salad on Thanksgiving?
No, you know, I've tried. I've put one out. No one ever touches it. So, like, in terms of vegetables, I think the way to go is a great coleslaw or a fennel slaw. I think it's nice to have some sort of slaw product, a carrot, like a carrot raisin slaw or carrot poppy seed, something light and shreddy, which is really great the next day when you're making your turkey sandwiches.
Right.
So it's good if you have that. That's a really good thing to have. You know, and as we do, you know, I get all these requests, and so I do it. You know, you have to give the people what they want. For the green bean casserole made with the Campbell's soup, mushroom soup, and the canned onion things, you know, people want that. So, you know, sometimes you have to make that. But I don't do that one personally.
Well, there is something to be said. I mean, the things that you mentioned, the fennel and the slaw, those are cabbage and fennel. They help you digest the otherwise rich and heavy foods.
Mm-hmm.
So that does give you a balanced
Thanksgiving
Day meal.
Who doesn't love fiber? Yeah. But, you know, the thing is that there's you can do peas, but they're going to be in a cream sauce.
Right.
And I like to do peas with, like, shiitake, and I'll saute the shiitakes and some sherry, and it's very nice. It's very rich. It's sort of like it's not even like a vegetable the time I'm done, really.
Right.
But it's really
like
good, though.
It's a starch with fat.
Yeah, exactly. Swimming in fat.
I mean, peas are kind
of
starchy.
Yeah. They are. It's true. Or you could do, like, roasted Brussels sprouts. I mean, I know not everyone likes them, but Brussels sprouts cooked with bacon fat? That's hard to beat.
No, that's a very good
thing. That's a nice one. I like my Brussels sprouts quite a bit, actually.
So, dispensing with the greens, as we have just done, then there is starch, of which we have a great deal on
Thanksgiving. Oh, there's no shortage of starch. Yes. Yes. And, you know, it's funny because everyone has their favorites, so I always end up making them all. I like to do candied sweet potatoes. I like to do a good quality mashed potato. Or in our house, we make potato nick, which is a mashed potatoes which are whipped up with a lot of oil and onions, which are sauteed in paprika, and then baked in a pie pan, and it gets a crust on top and bottom. It's delicious. That's my mom's major dish. That's all my mother adds to the dinner is the potato nick, but it's worth it. And that's a great dish. And then I don't think, no grains, though. I don't know anyone who does rice or grains with the meal. It's really more about the spuds and the stuffing, both starch. Yeah.
You know, I once made a wild rice
stuffing. Wild rice stuffing is great.
It was awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
I couldn't believe how good it was.
That's true. That is a good stuffing. Well, wild rice is so nutty and has a great flavor. It's a great ingredient.
One thing that I want to go back to is how long, well, first of all, what do you put on top of the turkey, on the outside of the turkey, before you bake it? And then how long do you call it bake or roast? How long do you keep it in the oven? How long do you roast it for?
Okay, well, there's a number of things you can do, from really simple to complex. My personal favorite is a paste that I make of salt, pepper, garlic, and paprika with a little water and a little oil, and you brush it on. And then I put the turkey in a roasting pan. I put water in the bottom, and I baste. I think basting is very important.
Yes. That's why they call them turkey basters.
That's right. They have other... Yes, I won't go into that. Okay. So, a lot of people, if your oven does not close very well, you need to keep adding more water, because that's what the base of your gravy is going to be. So you want to make sure, and the pan juices are going to run in there, and you always want to make sure to have water in the bottom of the pan.
Okay.
Now, I would say an estimation, of course... I should note that the turkey must be completely defrosted when you start cooking it. That's very important.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Partially cooked, defrosted really does not work for you.
No. I mean, have you ever taken a frozen thing out of the microwave and part of it is completely hot and part of it is still frozen?
Yes. And you're thinking,
you don't want that on Thanksgiving.
Good. This cannot be good. Yeah. So my estimate would be 12 to 14 minutes a pound. A 24-pound turkey will take you 3 to 3.5 hours. That's what I find at 350. Now, I like to put it in the oven uncovered and let the skin brown and get to the color I want it to be. If you tent it when it's raw, a lot of times the skin will stick to your tinfoil tent, and that's not pretty.
That's not nice.
So I roast it till it's a beautiful color, and then I'll put a tinfoil tent over the top so that it doesn't brown too much. And that's pretty much all I do. I leave it at the same temperature the whole time, and I just keep basting it every 30 minutes, and that's the whole procedure. Now, you can put it in one of those baking bags, which sort of steams it, which I don't think is the way to go, personally. You know, and people like that, I think, because their oven doesn't get dirty, but get your oven dirty. It's okay.
Well, I mean, I put foil on the bottom of the oven before you start under the coils, and then you just take that stuff out
at the
end.
Easy enough. That's easy enough. So that's pretty much the way I roast a turkey. And I think all you have to remember is have a meat thermometer. That takes all the guesswork out of knowing when it's done. Now, some of those turkeys, if you buy the more commercial turkeys, they have those little things that pop out.
They pop up.
They're basically reliable.
Yeah.
I don't really have a problem with those, but your natural turkeys aren't going to have those. So I recommend heavily get a meat thermometer, and if it's one that you've dropped on the floor 20 or 30 times, it might not be accurate anymore. So get yourself a new meat thermometer. They don't really last that well. And you need to check the thermometer in a variety of places.
So after a few hours, you think your turkey might be done, it smelled good, the house smells good, you take it out of the, you take the drawer, what do you call that thing, the rack out of the oven, you sort of pull it out, and then you stick the meat thermometer in a bunch of places.
Yes.
What number do you want it to be at?
You want it to be at 165.
Okay.
Because it's going to continue, the USDA says 180. I think that's way overdone. And it's going to continue to cooking once you take it out. So if you take it out at 165, it'll probably go to 170. Now, you want to test it in the thickest parts of the meat. You want to test it in the joint between the breast and the leg. And you want to check it in the back where it's really dense and take a variety of tests. And then when your temperature's right, you take it out. Now, it's important to let your turkey sit for 20 minutes at room temperature before slicing it, because all the juices will soak back into it. If you cut it right when it comes out of the oven, all your juices are going to run out.
Mm.
So let it sit. And then it'll be much easier for you to carve.
Now, gravy.
I love gravy.
Gravy's good.
Gravy is good. So now you have the pan. You've taken the turkey out and put it on your beautiful platter, which is decorated. And
what is it decorated
with? It's decorated with fresh sage leaves and orange sections and maybe some cranberries.
Mm.
Very festive.
Nice.
And so now you have this icky-looking pan, and that's the base of your wonderful gravy. And you take that pan, and you put it on the stovetop, and you put some Madeira or sherry into it, and you take a whisk and you start mixing it and getting all the little stuck bits off the bottom of the pan, because that's the best part of your gravy.
Yes, it is.
And then I like to add some of my nice giblet stock to that, and then I let it simmer down a little bit and concentrate, and I taste it for seasoning. And then I like to thicken mine. I take a little butter and flour, make a little bit of a roux, cook that so it's thick, and then you just mix that into your gravy. Now, if you don't like the bits and pieces in it, you could strain it out. I kind of like the bits and pieces. It's very home style. Some people like to add sautéed mushrooms to their gravy. You could add another shot of Madeira to it.
But you don't have to thicken it either.
You don't. You could leave it au jus, just the way it is. Yes.
I have tried in certain years doing two little gravy pitchers. One of them is just pan drippings and nothing else. And the other has the flour and all that stuff in it. And guess which is more popular? Pure pan drippings.
Yeah, that's what we always had at our house. That's what my mom always did. But my husband prefers the thick stuff. So, yeah, we could do a little bit of both. But I think, you know, people get kind of scared about gravy. It's really not that hard.
No, it's not that hard. Especially if you just do pan drippings.
Yeah.
Then it's not hard at all. You just pour the pan into the pitcher.
And maybe you could maybe, like, skim off some of the fat on the top.
Yeah, or not.
Or not. Or maybe not.
We're talking to Stacy Pearl about Thanksgiving dinner. Okay, so there's also side dishes, which may or may not be starchy.
Yes. Well, I personally love cranberry sauce, and I do not mean the stuff that wobbles out of the can. I know for a lot of people that's tradition, but I say, you know, go for something new. Cranberry sauce is so easy to make. I always make the simplest one, which is a bag of cranberries, one whole orange, skin and everything cut into quarters, and a cup of sugar in the food processor pulsed together. There's no cooking involved. It's super fresh tasting. If you want to be fancy, you could use tangerines instead. And it makes, you know, I've done a great variety. I did a cranberry, rosemary, fig chutney one year. They're all great. But I think the tartness of cranberry with that meal is just so perfect.
Yeah.
And so I think everyone should have cranberry sauce.
Yeah, cranberry sauce and with the orange. And the recipe for that is on the
cranberry
bag.
You know what? Sometimes the Toll House cookie recipe, the best recipe is on the bag.
I know. All right. So now let's talk about pie.
Pie. You know, the best part of Thanksgiving is the desserts.
Well, I would beg to differ. What about the turkey?
Turkey's great, too.
About?
But I think pies are great. And I think pies are great for people who are not comfortable baking because they're not terribly altitude adjusted or altitude affected, so you don't need to adjust them.
That's right.
So, you know, you could pretty much go to any old recipe, your mom's old cookbook or whatever, if you find on the back of the pecan bag, and make a pecan pie. Once again, pies are great. You can make them the day ahead. There's not a problem. A pecan pie, a pumpkin pie. And in terms of pumpkin pie, you can buy organic processed pumpkin in a can that is every bit as good as buying a regular pumpkin and processing it yourself. You know, if you need to save some time, just buy the pumpkin. plain. There's nothing else in it, and make a decent pumpkin pie. Pumpkin cheesecake is a fabulous dessert. You know,
and that stuff you buy in the can, it's pure. It's 100%
yes,
pumpkin. You have
exactly.
to make sure that you
don't
buy
that pumpkin pie spice filling. That's no good.
That's very bad. Yeah. I had a dog once who was very sick, and he had to eat pure pumpkin.
Yes.
And I started getting used to that stuff because
yes.
it was really good.
Yes. So okay. I think desserts are great. Also, if you're kind of stressed and you have too much to do, that's the thing to tell your friends to bring.
Yeah.
What should I bring? Bring dessert. Or, you know, there's a lot of bakeries in town. Buy something. But, you know, that's where you can, you know. But you know what's always really great, no matter where you get your pies from? Whip up some fresh cream.
Yes.
That makes every dessert taste better.
Yeah. And it's not entirely unrelated to the butter family.
Yes. Yes, you can't have really, you know, it's the kind of time where you kind of say, okay, I've been watching my weight, or it's Thanksgiving now, I'm with my family. It's such a great, fun holiday. There's no, you don't have to.
No presents.
No worshiping involved. It's just, you know, it's just like, isn't it great? I have family and friends who are here with me.
Yeah.
And so it's a really good time to celebrate. It's a great holiday.
Now, I make my traditional apple pie every year, which I got out of a, some kind of church cookbook recipe type of thing. And the only special ingredients is when you take your apples, you peel them, you cut them up, and while you're making the pie crust, you soak them in a combination of rum and brandy.
Yeah.
And you can buy Smith's brand
right.
rum and brandy. They uh-huh. don't have to be anything fancy. They're completely undrinkable
uh-huh.
outside of the apple
uh-huh.
situation. But they're fine, and it makes the pie so good.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
That's got to be great. Or, of course, the traditional mincemeat, which is sort of Christmas, Thanksgiving-y. I don't know. A lot of people don't like. I happen to love mincemeat. And we do a pie sometimes. This is kind of a cool thing, where we do the bottom layer mincemeat, and then we do pumpkin on top. So it's two pies in one.
Nice.
Which I think is kind of fun. Yeah.
So what other desserts do you eat besides pie? Anything?
You can.
Does chocolate play a role on Thanksgiving?
In my family, chocolate always plays a role. I just like to, you know, something that's really easy to make and people get all, like, excited about are chocolate truffles. There's really nothing to them. It's something also you could do way ahead of time. It's basically chocolate and cream and butter, and that's the filling, and you freeze it, and then you dip it in other chocolate. And that's a nice thing to put at the end because, you know, you could have just one little one, but then you've had your chocolate fix. And a lot of people think a meal isn't over until you've had chocolate. So that's always a nice thing to do. And they're super easy. And you could roll them in nuts, and they look real pretty. You know, and also it's a good gift to bring to someone.
What do you drink on Thanksgiving?
That's kind of interesting. You know, some people think beer is appropriate at every meal. But I like to make apple cider, like an apple cider punch. I always think that's nice, and there's this really, you know, the local cider here is so good. That's kind of what I like, but I'm not a big drinker, you know. I think some white wine would be nice. Nothing heavy. I don't really see it as a meal for cocktails. And, you know, if you have kids around, like a sparkling apple juice, is it like that Martinelli's apple juice? So there's a local apple juice that's really nice. It kind of looks elegant. But I think kind of keeping it simple, because as we've said, it's a big meal.
What's nice about apple punch is that you can have one spiked and one
exactly.
sober, so
yes.
to speak.
Yes. So I think that's always a good choice.
And
you
this
know?
Has been a great year for apples. I got a juicer, and I've been juicing apples,
nice.
And they're so good. That
nice.
Just that fresh apple juice.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't. I mean, it's so distinctly different, the taste of a fresh apple, like a local apple versus a supermarket apple, that it's just like, why would you not buy local apples? I'm a fan.
So, leftovers.
Oh, yummy, the leftovers. I love the leftovers. You need to make sure when you make this meal you have leftovers, but as you said, not enough for 2 weeks.
Right.
So I always take the carcass and I make turkey soup. I just kind of break it up and I throw it in a pot and I put it in the garage, which is like putting it outside, and then the next day I make turkey soup. And it's delicious and it makes a great stock, and especially because like, you don't feel like doing anything the first day, but that's okay. It's fine. Turkey tetrazzini is a great option. You know, I just like having turkey sandwiches personally, but I know a lot of people like, I can't eat turkey pot pie, a great choice.
Good
it's
idea.
A really good chance to be homey, to be old-fashioned,
right.
to do all those kind of dishes. I mean, you can do a turkey stir-fry if you're tired of that kind of stuff. Turkey is not overcooked, it's a delicious meat. When you start cutting it and it falls apart, you know you've overcooked it. It should be firm, and it's really quite versatile.
I have to also mention that the traditional way that I have cooked turkey many Thanksgivings, but not all Thanksgivings, is at a certain point you drape organic bacon over the turkey.
Oh, you just look for any excuse to drape organic bacon over anything.
I know. And you know what's funny? Gourmet magazine has gone the way of all flesh. It no
R.I.P.
longer...
R.I.P., yes.
R.I.P. But I did notice, I would look in the index of that magazine, and there was... really more often than not, bacon-wrapped something every issue.
Because frankly, and I mean, not that you need hors d'oeuvres for this meal, but one of my favorite hors d'oeuvres that would go with this meal would be a bacon-wrapped date with a Marcona almond in the middle. It's so retro, so 1950s, and so delicious.
Bacon-wrapped dates. I first had one of those a few years ago at somebody's wedding, and it was clearly proof of the existence of a benevolent God.
It's true. It's so true. Yeah, they're quite good.
Stacey Pearl, it's wonderful to have you back, and we're just about out of time. Anything else you want to say to people about Thanksgiving?
Not to stress. Let your friends help. Let them bring something. Plan ahead. I hope your shopping's all done. If not, you're running around like a crazy person right now. And enjoy yourself, because people are coming to hang out with you guys, whoever you are. And if you overcook your turkey, just put more gravy on it.
There you have it. Stacey is an executive chef at Walter Burke Catering, and her show, Mouth of Wonder, is on Saturday mornings, although it's on hiatus right now. It'll be back on the 26th of December, the great holiday show, and then starting again in January.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you to all my people who have been asking what happened to me. I'm fine. I'll be back.
And happy Thanksgiving, and for those of you who aren't cooking... just enjoy yourself and bring that pie.
Yes.
I thought I'd play a little different music on our way out today. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and one of my favorite Thanksgiving hymns is called We Gather Together. We're going to hear a version of it now, an instrumental version by Paul McCandless. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR is streaming live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Santa Fe's Doubtfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, good morning, jazz. Happy Thanksgiving.